Welcome to installment 291 of Sefer Mitzvos in the Rambam. Today's portion contains two prohibitions relating to a worker who is harvesting or otherwise working with produce and who is consuming part of the food at the time that he works, as we discussed in yesterday's portion. Prohibition number 267 is the prohibition on this worker consuming the food before Gemar Malacha, before it has been fully worked with, before his job has been concluded. And prohibition number 268 is that he is prohibited from taking away more than he is eating on the job. He is not allowed to take it away elsewhere. As we discussed in yesterday's portion, there is a positive commandment to allow a hired hand who is working on harvesting a field or a vineyard to allow him to eat from some of the food he is harvesting. This is a positive commandment. However, there are certain restrictions on when and how much he is allowed to eat. A violation of these restrictions will come under one of the two prohibitions we will mention today. As we mentioned yesterday, the only time a hired hand is allowed to eat from food which is mechubar lekarka, which is still growing, is upon conclusion of his work, known as gmar malacha, when he has finished. Should he eat from the food before he is finished, he is violating this prohibition 267. And the law is learned from a verse which seems not to indicate this prohibition at all. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verse 26, the verse begins that "V'katafta melilas b'yadecha," that when he is working in the field, harvesting grain, he is allowed to eat from the fresh ears of grain. And the verse continues, "V'chermesh leisoni v'alkomas reyecha." Literally, you should not lift a sickle against the grain of your neighbor. But this obviously cannot be referring literally to using the sickle at the time of harvesting. This is what the person is doing, he is harvesting. But rather, the verse comes to indicate that chermesh, at the time when the sickle is being used, do not take the food for yourself. Instead of meaning literally, do not wave or do not utilize the sickle in your neighbor's field, it's referring to a time period. At the time when the sickle is being used, do not eat. This is not the time. When is there a provision of the Torah that the worker is allowed to eat? When he has finished the harvesting, when he has already concluded the work. But in the middle of the time when he is working, he is prohibited from eating, of course, unless the owner happens to give him permission. And so too, should he stop working and sit down to eat in the middle of his work? In other words, as he is working, or if he stops to eat, he is violating this prohibition, as the Rambam explains in his legal code. The Rambam clarifies this point by bringing the seventh chapter, a statement in the seventh chapter of the tractate Baba Metzia, which states, "Eilu eichlin min ha-teda," who is allowed to eat by biblical decree? A person who is working with things attached to the ground at the time the work has been concluded, the shas gmar malacha, but before then he is prohibited and would come under the purview of this prohibition number 267. The Rambam incidentally points out another detail of this law, which we discussed yesterday in the positive commandment, but the Rambam happens to discuss here. How do we know that this is speaking about a hired worker? The Rambam tells us that the verse starts off, ki sove, when somebody comes into the field. And the Rambam tells us that this is referring to somebody coming in as a hired worker, a person earning wages, and brings a proof from the Targum, the Aramaic translation of the Chumash, which in some places clarifies exactly what the Chumash should mean. And in this case it says, arei sitagar, when a person is earning wages. Therefore, we see clearly that this verse and all of these commandments are referring to a hired worker. And so too, prohibition number 268. This commandment also deals with one of the restrictions about the taking of food by the hired hand. In the verse we referred to in yesterday's commandment, Deuteronomy 23, verse 25, we learned that you are allowed to eat at the time of harvest. As the verse says, V'chalta anovim k'nafshecha savecha, that you are allowed to eat the grapes, in this case speaking about a vineyard, according to your desire, and to fill yourself up, that he is even allowed to eat to the point of being sated. However, the verse concludes, V'elkel yechol leisitein, do not put it in your vessel. In other words, do not take the food for yourself to store up. You can eat it there, but you cannot take it for yourself back home later on. It cannot be stored up. And so too, as the Rambam explains in his legal code, you are not allowed to take it for members of your family. You can only use it for yourself. But this food is forbidden to be taken for anyone else. Should it be taken, it's a case of theft. Simple theft, since you are taking something which does not belong to you. The only time the Torah gives the worker permission to take things is for himself, and then only again at the time of Gemar Malacha, when the work of harvesting has been completed. Other restrictions brought down by the Rambam in his legal code, and Paskin Lalach and Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, is that when a person is working with one type of food, he cannot eat another. Let's say, for example, there are grapes and figs growing in proximity to one another. If his job is to harvest the figs, he may not eat the grapes, and vice versa. So too, he is prohibited from eating anything together with these fruits. For example, if a person just eats fruit, he will fill up very quickly and be unable to eat anything else. Should he eat it together with something else, such as bread, the combination of the two will enable him to eat more. However, he is forbidden from eating anything else together with the fruit. He can just eat the plain fruit. And so, too, he is prohibited from dipping it in salt or anything else which would make it easier to consume. And even if he should no longer want to eat it, but rather suck out the juice from the fruit, this is also prohibited, since the verse says, V'chalta anovim, you are allowed to eat them, but you're not allowed to squeeze them out for their juice, but rather eat them the way they are. The Talmudic tractate Papa Metzia in the 7th chapter is the source the Rambam gives for further details of this law, what one is allowed to eat and what not. And there it describes that if someone should eat something he is not supposed to, or take it for himself when he is not supposed to, that he is transgressing this prohibition. The Chinuch explains why it is that we need such a commandment. After all, if the workman has not been given permission to eat things which the Torah has not allowed, then he is simply stealing. We already have a prohibition here, a prohibition against theft. You are not allowed to eat or take for your own use something which does not belong to you. And even though we allow the worker to eat food under certain conditions, obviously it only applies to those conditions. In any other case, he would already be violating the prohibition against theft. Why then, asked the Chinuch, do we need a separate prohibition for eating things at an improper or prohibited time? And the Chinuch explains that this is one of the ways that Hashem has merited the Jewish people, Lazakis Yisrael, to give us a merit, to keep us away from doing any sin. That since, although the worker knows there is a prohibition against theft, he might think, after all, I deserve to eat. I am in the middle of working. And even though it might not be the right time, the person might be tempted to overstep the boundary which the Torah has given him and eat anyway. And therefore, to give this person a schus, a merit, and make sure he observes the mitzvahs, Hashem makes a boundary around the mitzvah. He makes a separate prohibition to stress to the worker that unless it's the time which the Torah has allowed, he is strictly prohibited. He is strictly prohibited from partaking in this food. Only at the proper time is he allowed to use this food. The Talmudic tractate Brachos tells an interesting story relating to a worker who did store some of the food for himself and take it away without permission of the owner of the field. Rav Huna, who was very wealthy, once had a financial calamity occur to him. He used to make wine, and one time he had 400 barrels of wine which turned sour. They turned to vinegar and became totally unusable. Some visitors came to him, and he described the act which happened to him. And they advised him, Layin Marba Mile, that Rav Huna, they suggested that Rav Huna should look into his deeds. Perhaps he had done some sin in order to deserve this punishment. And Rav Huna immediately became defensive and saying, why should you distrust me? Why should you suspect that I did something unjustly? And they answered him, who should we not trust? Should we suspect that Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Avi Dina B'lei Dina, that God does something unjustly? Obviously, if something has happened to the person, he must deserve it. So therefore, you should look into your deeds. Rav Huna said, however, after thinking, that he does not see that he did anything to deserve punishment. And he said that, okay, if anyone here knows of something, let him reveal it to me. Tell me, perhaps there's something that needs improvement. And they answered him, Rav Huna, we heard something about you. We heard that you do not allow your workers a share of the crops when they are working. We heard that you took the crops they wanted to eat away from them. Rav Huna says, this is your complaint? Why, this worker that you were referring to was actually stealing all my crops. He had stored things away, and he was taking much more than he deserved. He would have left me with almost nothing had I allowed him to get away from it. Therefore, I took it back from him. And they answered him, this is what people say. That if a person steals, even if he steals back what he deserves from a thief, he also has a taste of theft. He gets a touch of theft. It affects himself as well. It affects his soul. Even though he is rightly taking back this which belongs to him, he still gets a smell, a taste, a certain sense of theft himself. And this is what Rav Huna should not have done. We see, incidentally, in this Gemara, a very important principle of Jewish philosophy. The sages asked Rav Huna, does Hashem punish anyone who does not deserve it? And Tosfos asks here, but there are many righteous people, tzaddikim, who are stricken with physical illness and with financial mishaps, and how can we say that they did something wrong? In this particular case, we found something that Rav Huna, on his level of piety, should not have done. But how can we blame others? And Tosfos answers that really they were just looking for an excuse to bring up this point to Rav Huna since they already knew it. But nevertheless, although it was not necessary that Rav Huna had done any forbidden act, certainly that Hashem does not do something without a purpose. Perhaps it was justified in a previous reincarnation of the person's soul, or for some other purpose unknown to us. But the ways of Hashem are ultimately just. And even though this particular person might not deserve the suffering they are enduring. In the end, the Talmud concludes the story that Rav Huna decided to give back what he had taken, even though the worker had stolen it. And the story concludes that he became rich. There are two versions of the story. One version is that the vinegar reversed itself and turned back into wine miraculously. And the other opinion is that the miracle happened in a more commonly accepted way. That the price of vinegar changed and suddenly there was a vinegar shortage and vinegar became as expensive as wine and he was able to make his money nevertheless. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to dedicate a shir, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. Please join us again tomorrow.